just to see all the MLB facilities and the amount of dudes competing for a spot just like you, and seeing how many guys' dreams are playing baseball professionally, it's really eye-opening to see. Got to keep your head down and grind.
Welcome to episode 273 of Alberta Dugout Stories, the podcast. I'm Joe McFarland. As we record this episode, the weather sure looks a lot better than it did just a week ago. It was nice to see some neighbor kids out in the park nearby throwing a baseball around just this week. So you know there's an appetite to get things going locally, and we love to see it. We'll start off the news segment here on the show this week in the pros, where Calgary's Michael Soroka made his third start of the season with the Chicago White Sox Tuesday night against Cleveland. It didn't exactly go as planned, though, as he allowed 4 runs on 4 hits and 3 walks while striking out 4 and 3+ innings of work. The White Sox did manage to come back and beat the Guardians 7-5. If all is still on track health-wise for Mike, it appears the next start will be Tuesday against Kansas City. Speaking of the Guardians, what a season debut for Dogs Academy and Okotoks Dogs alum Matt Wilkinson. He's starting the season with Cleveland's single-A affiliate, the Lynchburg Hillcats, and was phenomenal in his first game against the Down East Wood Ducks. He went 5 innings, allowing just 2 hits and 3 walks, while striking out 9 in what turned out to be a 1-0 loss for the Hillcats. Congrats to Dogs Academy in 2019 WCBL Rookie of the Year and playoff MVP Tristan Peters on his first career AAA home run. Playing for Tampa Bay's affiliate, the Durham Bulls, he hit one out on the first pitch of the game against Jacksonville April 6th. Peters is now hitting .281 with 8 runs scored, 5 RBI, and a stolen base in 9 games. A couple of other tidbits from the minors is Oyen and Dogs product Gavin Logan started the year on a solid note by going 1-for-2 with a 2 RBI double and 2 runs scored for the single-A Hillsboro Hops in an 8-7 win over the Everett Aqua Sox. And Adam Macko made his double-A debut with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats April 7th. He allowed 3 runs on 2 hits and 2 walks while striking out 6 in 4 innings of work as the Fisher Cats knocked off the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. Yeah, you heard that name right. The score there was 8-4. Over on the college side, congrats to Dogs Academy and Okotoks Dogs product Nash Crowell on being named the Canadian Baseball Network College Player of the Week. As mentioned last week, he was hit in the face with a fastball recently, but he returned to be a big piece of a series of wins for Reinhardt University, including hitting a walk-off grand slam. In other top performances, Dogs alum Derek Palmiere was fantastic for Mayville State over the weekend. He threw a complete game 2-hitter in a 9-1 win over Viterbo. He struck out 4 in that win. Red Deer's Jordan Bauer threw a complete game 5-hitter for Minnesota West Community and Technical College in a 5-1 win over Minnesota Postgrad. The Red Deer minor ball and St. Joe's Academy grad had 9 strikeouts in the outing and has since been named the MCAC South Pitcher of the Week. Vauxhall Academy grad Aaron Volcano hit 3 solo home runs and went 4-for-4 with 4 RBI in Doan University's 9-8 win over Northwestern. Dogs Academy's Cesar Valero hit his 30th career home run for Sacramento State in a 5-3 loss to California Baptist. He's now tied for 3rd in program history with 3 others. Valero's been swinging a hot bat lately for Sac State. Fellow Dog and Chestermere area native Logan Grant smashed his 10th home run of the season Tuesday night for Bellevue University in a 13-10 win over Midland. He's also now hitting .329 with 40 RBI. And finally, Reese Hemmerling keeps doing, well, Reese Hemmerling things. He allowed 2 runs on 5 hits with a walk and 6 strikeouts in 6 innings of work during a 7-3 Barton win over Dodge City. The AHP Academy grad also committed to USC Upstate. On to this week's guests, and we'll start in the Canadian College Baseball Conference. It was a relatively light week on the Alberta front as Prairie Baseball Academy was set for a home-and-home with the University of Calgary Dinos. Then Old Man Winter showed up and threw everything for a loop. Some makeup dates will be announced, which leaves the Edmonton Collegiate Hawks, who found themselves in BC again to take on top-ranked Okanagan College. The Hawks were coming off a 4-game sweep of Victoria, so they had higher hopes, but they started with a 7-3 loss last Friday night before splitting a Saturday double dip and fell 8-7 in the Sunday finale. It made for a long bus trip back to Edmonton, but believe it or not, it wasn't all bad news. We sat down with veteran outfielder and Bonnyville native Rajon Bourget to talk all about that and the expectations the team has heading into the rest of the season.
Rajon, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
a great opening weekend against the Golden Tide, then a tighter weekend this past weekend against Okanagan College. How's everyone feeling, A, after the road trip, but B, after getting back home and being able to kind of soak it all in after about 24 hours to decompress?
Definitely tired, for sure. Like, I feel like the opening weekend was great. Like, we were able to showcase our, like, talents and skills a lot against a good Tide team, and I feel like this past weekend is obviously not the result that we wanted, but to me, it's a big wake-up call. It's not, like, urgent, obviously, because it's early, but I feel like it's good, like, since we have, like, a lot of younger, talented players as well, and just seeing how I think we maybe came not as prepared. I think kind of that with the mental aspect to take on this great OC team just kind of showed in our games and, like, our play. So to me, it's kind of a good wake-up call, because now we get to go to work this week here, and, like, obviously have a more better preparation as we get set to take on obviously, like, it's not going to get easier now as we get set to go to PBA here. So just a lot of work, and obviously still fatigue, so it's nice to have the off day today, but then it's back to work more like when we go again tomorrow, right, for practice
for sure. So when you look back on this last weekend against a real good squad in OC, what went right in your eyes and what went wrong?
I feel like our starters obviously gave us a chance. I feel like there were some mental errors just from a defensive standpoint and also the hitting standpoint, just kind of not failing, but just struggling to make those early on in-game adjustments, not only at the plate, but also on defense. And it comes, though, like, I've been playing in this league for quite a few years now, and a lot of people know me as the kind of the old-timer that's still going, but I'm It's no big panic, I would say. It's just a lot of learning experiences still, and that's kind of like what I like to take from. Obviously not the result we wanted, like I said, but I take it as a time of the reflection, and not only like for myself, but as being one of the team leaders and just trying to prep our guys and prep myself for like another big weekend here and a huge task against a great program like the Dogs have been for just years and years.
Mm-hmm. I know you wanted to go 4-0, but is there still that feeling in the room that, hey, there's some positives to take out of this? I mean, it's not like you're getting blown out. They're close games through and through, and so you just tweak a thing here and there, and all of a sudden it's easily a 3-1 weekend or even a 4-0 weekend.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just playing for that full 36 innings. Like, I've been there before. Like, I've been a guy that's played in like a lot of games and a lot of back-to-back games and like this, and even full series. And I feel like just as a team and just as like individuals, we have to be prepared to put our like bodies and just everything, all of our energy has to be put into those 36 innings. And I just think that I think we go into some lulls like sometimes in kind of those middle innings, and that's been our like biggest killer, man. And it's tough, like, obviously, but hopefully like a lot of the young players get that gut check and just understand like how physically demanding, and not only physically but also just on your mind as well, how hard it is to play like a 36 inning series compared to having maybe that 1-7 or like maybe that 9-7, right? So
it's not just a tough stretch as far as teams go, but you're also facing a tough stretch where you're on the road every single weekend. You're not home for a while still. Is that a good thing in terms of the team bonding thing? Is it a bad thing because you wish you'd be more home more often to get that home cooking? How's the feeling given that you're spending 4 weekends on the road to start?
Well, my parents hated that's for sure. Like, my parents are like huge ball fans, and they have been able to come and see us play on the road. But just going back to the team, I feel like the bonding is great. I like kind of already spoke to you like earlier before our like interview how many games of President that we played on the bus, and it's pretty bad. I think we have been kind of like this weird addiction to the cards because we played so many freaking games for that. But other than that, yeah, like for bonding, I feel like it's great. But it just comes down to staying focused and having good rest and trying to eat as good as you can on the road and getting like the best sleep at night, because it is super difficult, especially what like by bus. That we were pretty fortunate against Vic. It was a quick flight. It's that quick hour flight or so, whatever hour in a bit, however much time it is. And then, but going to OC and playing on that same night, yeah, it's obviously like it's very difficult. You're on the road. You're stopping at multiple subways or like gas station areas, and it's tough to kind of get like that fuel unless you're a guy that prepares early in the morning or is ready to eat at like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. So for bonding, it's great. I feel like it did take a toll on us maybe mentally, and I think that kind of fatigued some players. But at the end of the day, for me, just being an older player now, it's a huge learning experience, and I hopefully that a lot of our like younger talented players and just like players in like general are seeing that and understanding how to prepare for obviously these next road trips.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. You're one of the vets on the team. You're the old man, quote unquote. What's been your message to the team in these early goings? Because we were talking off air, as you mentioned, it's a marathon, it's a sprint, it's kind of all in one. Like, as much as the season's just getting underway, it's 6 weeks until the championships are being held, right? So what are you saying to that those younger guys who haven't maybe experienced this yet?
I try to reinforce to them that nothing is ever given, especially in the game of baseball. And I feel like we take that for granted, just seeing how good our like staff has been for us like this year from a like hitter standpoint and a defensive standpoint, that we just can't expect to come in and roll teams. Like, you have to learn to respect your opponents no matter who they are or what like their rank is, because like I said, or just in any sport or in any moments in life, I find that nothing is ever given to you and you have to really work for it. I feel like that kind of slips us, because I obviously think that we are one of the best pitching staffs in the league and like some of the best players too, but I feel like we just have to come with that better mindset and like that approach to learn how to respect your opponents, because they're also there trying to give it their all, and they're playing like the same game as you are and going through it, right?
Mm-hmm. You got a great pitching staff. I think that's the first thing that really stuck out to me when I was chatting for our CCBC season preview extravaganza. From your standpoint, give us a bit of a scouting report. What do you see out of that staff, but also what are you seeing out of those position players that make you think that, hey, this is a team that's going to be one to be reckoned with once May long weekend shows up?
Yeah, the staff, it's honestly like awesome words for me, because I would never want to face them. It's honestly, I do feel bad. Like, sometimes just I can imagine going against like some of like those arms, like Barrett, Noel, Backy, Rids, like Reese, like, and then like all of our pen guys too. Like, it's I'm pretty fortunate to be a Hawk sometimes, like, that's for sure, because just facing them into the fall a lot, like, they're just super talented players, and like they definitely make you work up there for sure. It's not given like at all. So just with them, like, it's been great to see, and from some of our offensive players being alongside some of them for the last like year and a bit, like, obviously there's great new talents as well, but I feel like that, like, we've been going through like a bit of a slump, but for me, like, just being I preach it a lot, it's just having that mental toughness and being able to go through these tough series and just understanding and having that self-confidence in you, because that was my biggest help for me, like, throughout sports or throughout bad slumps and like any sports or just life moments, is having that confidence and that belief in yourself, and that's helped me honestly prevail, I think, especially throughout my baseball career, because it's a sport like where we fail a lot, right? Like, I obviously don't want to preach on that forever, because everybody knows it. Like, I'm playing with a lot of high talented athletes and against a lot of higher talented like competitions as well in like our league, and everybody knows that we fail a lot. It's just how you get to that next at bat, or how you prepare, or how you like ready like your mentality to get to that next at bat, or to get that next ground ball, or to make like that next big pitch, right? And for your team. And a lot of it is just like for the team at the end of the day. The more, I can't stress enough, the more that you try to pressure yourself as an individual with either individual accolades or obviously your statistics, the more pressure you put on yourself, it just doesn't happen, man. Like, I've been there before. I was 17 or 18 year old like freshman in the States, and it was a hard start for me and really eye-opening, but I've obviously had dry spells in like high school as well and slumps, and the more pressure I put on myself as an individual, I wasn't seeing the results like at all, but the more I generated my focus on my at-bats towards like my team and like my play towards like my team, it is amazing what that can do and help settle out of your mind, especially when a sport is just literally based on like failure for especially hitters and also pitchers and defensive players as well.
Mm-hmm. On a personal level, looking at the season, I know it's still young, you're 8 games in, but how are you feeling about your performance to this point?
I'm feeling, obviously, that, like I said, it's not like the best start. I feel like for me as an individual, just for my last 2 years, I've obviously seen some success in this league. So after those last 2 years, I've just been a player that's never satisfied. I'm just a guy that I am super competitive. I love to win, and I've obviously had some good at bats, and there's been some good and bad. But I feel like I'm seeing the ball. But there's obviously a lot that I can still have to work on for my team and just help us win. So it's a really big week for me to just prepare and obviously get like a lot of hitting reps in and just kind of train to the eye like a bit more than maybe on like some off speed of approaches and stuff, because we all know that I'll be getting a fair amount of that probably.
For sure. Let's get into your baseball past a little bit here, and we'll start off with your hometown being Bonnyville, Alberta. How did you get into the game in the first place?
I just like to take this time to thank Fred Cardinal, Quick, Jim Church, and also my father as well. They were three people that kind of got me interested into the game of baseball. Jim Church and Fred Cardinal I've been to, like, kind of like the baseball grandfathers, well, not really grandfathers, just say like fathers of like our town. Like, they were guys that coached for like a long, long time. And Jim Church, especially, even when his sons were done playing, he's somebody that continued to coach, and now he's even an umpire. So to see just his level of like passion and like how much drive he had to keep a really, not a tough sport, but a sport that's not as well known as like hockey, because you travel around Alberta, I'm sure, and there's a rink in every small town or every corner of like this province, but you don't see as many ball diamonds or as many high level teams until you go to some of the bigger centers. Like, obviously, just being from Edmonton now, and I'd also like to take this time to thank Rod Scammell. He was my coach with the Edmonton Cardinals when me and like my brother did our first move here to Edmonton, and just his passion for the game again, and how much he supported me during obviously some of the harder times and like my career, like when I was maybe struggling at the plate or not performing as well. Just his passion and his drive and just his confidence he had in me. So yeah, just a huge thanks to him. He's somebody that pushed me to kind of get to kind of these higher levels for sure.
Very cool. What's it like growing up in a household with a twin and both playing baseball at the same time?
It's super funny you say that, man. It's good and bad for sure. Like, it's obviously awesome having that family support and like having my brother with me. Like we obviously went to the same high school, same junior high. We went to Garden City for that same year as well. Like same room, whatever, same dorm. It's nice to have like that social support as well, and just somebody that's always been by our side. But like, we obviously butt heads though, like a fair share as well. Like, we'll talk about obviously tough at bats, like when like we were playing together or tough plays, or we kind of butt heads saying, oh, like, how can you to make like that play or something. And obviously like there'd be some good chippy matchups and like some good chirps and stuff, but at the end of the day though, I was super blessed to have like that family support, and just he was a great influence on me. He was obviously a good hitter too in high school, so that kind of pushed me to try to beat him, because I'm sure you know like how it is with family and friends and close teammates, like you always want to compete with them a bit, and I feel like we had that, so that was something that helped us excel, especially during our like high school years of ball. It was tough not having him throughout my college career, and it's still tough now, but he's come to watch my game, so it's tough to see him up there in the stands every now and then. But yeah, just having him throughout my high school career and like obviously the early days too was a huge support for me.
Couple of fun ones before we let you go here. First off, what's your card game of choice if you have the choice in the back of the bus?
Oh, President for sure. It gets at least seven players involved. So yeah, and we even jotted up these little this little standing board, so guys have been itching to just knock off people. And I was actually there for the while, but just a big shout out to Gooch here too. He actually knocked me off my leaderboard. It was last night at about 4 a.m. or so, or some crazy time like that. Like, then we just grinded it out with a bunch of our teammates, and yeah, he actually knocked me off. So big congrats to him, and I'll be gunning for them when we go to PBA next weekend here.
Who's the one guy on that bus trip that is always underrated good, like just kind of flies under the radar and somehow is always in the pack as far as leaders are concerned?
I feel like it's Gooch still. Like, yeah, I'm like not just saying that because he like knocks me off, but everybody puts, I think, that they always want to try to get me out because they know that I'm trying to increase my lead. So I feel like he's kind of that sleeper that everybody puts those high cards on me, and then Gooch kind of just slips his pairs, and he obviously understands the game well, but yeah, he's able to get her done right. So he's definitely that guy for sure.
That's fantastic stuff. I'm cognizant of time, want to get you a little bit more of a nap in on your off days. So the last question we ask everybody here on the show: what does the game of baseball mean to you?
It like means a lot. I think coming back from the U.S., it was obviously hard to find like that love again, because everybody wants to obviously have that higher career, like obviously play like down south. So once I like came back, it was hard to find like that love. And I know I've been saying this a lot, but just again, just a huge thanks and shout out to just the Edmonton Hawks staff and literally all of the staff and players just helping me find like that love again. I can't preach it much, like Jake Lafferman, or preach about it much. Jake Lafferman, our head guy, Weegs, Kuzikov, Flash, just a lot of guys that helped me regain like that love, and just also being just around like a great group of guys for the last 3 years now with this Hawks program has been, it's hard to put into words because it really helped me come back and find like that love again. So I can't thank them enough.
Really appreciate you taking the time here, Rishi. Congrats on all the success you've had to this point. Continued success at EC and beyond. And thanks again for joining us here on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Next up is UBC Thunderbirds catcher and outfielder Kyle Yip. Originally from Calgary, he was a bit of a late bloomer of sorts in baseball, but excelled once he focused in on it, playing at the Cal Ripken World Series, among other notable tournaments. Yip took his talents to Vauxhall, then headed to UBC, where he's been an impact player in his freshman season, hitting .278 with 3 home runs and 11 RBI in 27 games, while helping handle a veteran pitching staff.
Kyle, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Coming off a big weekend with 4 wins over Bushnell University, how is the team feeling after that weekend?
That was definitely a big weekend for us. Dropped a couple games a couple weeks prior. But I really think we stuck together that this weekend. And, obviously the results show for themselves. So really proud of how we played and how we competed all week.
One of the things that I've taken over the years is covering sports is that sometimes you need that smack in the mouth kind of thing or that punch in the face. And then all of a sudden everybody goes, okay, we're back on track again. Is that sort of the feeling after those couple of wins that you probably should have taken away? And now it's time to dial in and set yourselves apart as being a perennial favorite for the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a team, definitely going in to every weekend, we believe that we have the ability to take 4. Every week, and I mean, yeah, it's just a matter of, I guess, proving it on the field. And yeah, when you do get knocked down a little bit like that, there's definitely things you can learn from in those games. And I feel like every opportunity we took to learn and grow from those past losses, and I think it's starting to pay off for these next couple weeks.
You're 26-13 on the season overall, 11-5 in conference play. What's been working for the team as a whole as you look at the season to date?
Yeah, obviously our pitching throughout the entire season has been really well. They've kept us in quite a few games. I think hitting-wise, just trusting our approach. Our Coach Pritchett really loves to, take pride in our 2-strike hitting. Really try to compete, be gritty, make them work for it. I feel like, especially this weekend, our 2-strike hitting definitely was, I guess, at par with where he'd like to see it. And I think there's a lot of good things we have going right now. So hopefully we can keep this going in the next 2 weekends, which are pretty big for us.
You mentioned that pitching staff, and I think it was Sean Heppner had an amazing outing not that long ago, and there's been a few other real good performances. But as a guy who's catching that group, how good is that pitching staff from your vantage point?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone on our pitching staff has just the potential to be lights out every time they go out there. And I mean, it's just a pleasure to get to work with them each and every weekend.
On a personal level, you're hitting .278, 3 home runs, 11 RBI, 27 games. This is all as a freshman catcher, as I mentioned. How would you grade your performance to this point?
I'm happy with it, but I think there's definitely still room to improve for sure. I mean, every opportunity's an opportunity to learn and grow. It's something that I've kind of been focusing on throughout my career so far. So, I mean, just trying to learn through each and every at-bat, each and every pitch, trying to figure out, I guess, what makes me tick.
Talk a little bit about that changeover from high school to university ball. You're, like I said, you're doing it head first, being a catcher to boot, so you're having to handle a pitching staff. But how has that transition been for you, being able to go from Vauxhall over to UBC?
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't really catch all that much in my last 2 years at Vauxhall. I was mostly an outfielder, so I was recruited initially as mostly an outfielder, but then a couple injuries later and ended up behind the plate. So it's definitely nice to get back there working again. It's obviously a much more physically demanding position, but on the same note, you get to be in the play every game, or every play of the game. And getting to work with, I guess, our pitching staff, they're pretty mature. So, I mean, it helps to kind of learn with them, work with them, and really try to improve my game kind of on the fly, I guess. But so far, it's been a good experience, and I've had, like, the support and all the support I need to kind of make that transition as smooth as possible.
Speaking of moving over to being more of a catcher for this rookie season, talk about who you've been able to lean on and some of the things that you've had to, I'll call it, relearn, or some of the things that you've really had to digest to make this a successful jaunt as a catcher.
Yeah, I mean, we have an older catcher, Russell Young. He's definitely been a good role model. Getting to work with him, kind of picking his brain on, I guess, what he works on every day, what his mindset is behind the dish. He's definitely a guy I've leaned on quite a bit. Same with their other catchers, too. They have good input as well. Yeah, I mean, I guess from a physical standpoint, definitely the hips are took a beating, I guess, the first couple of weeks, but now they're starting to loosen up, so...
That's good to hear. It was interesting. I was listening to one of the Blue Jays games over the weekend, and they were talking about catchers, and especially in the colder weather, it's really important to be a part of that pregame warm up and routine for the pitcher, so you know what's working for a pitcher, what's not, how things are moving. Is that something that you key in on every game day? Is making sure that you're aware of what's working for a pitcher, what's not, and talk us through your mindset as you go in behind the dish each game to be as best prepared as you can to get the most out of that staff.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, guys aren't going to have all their pitches working on a specific day. Maybe they will, but odds are it isn't. So I guess having those chats with them before games, kind of post bullpen. On how they're feeling, you know, how they want to attack hitters. That definitely just helps, I guess, slow the game down when you have a game plan to kind of follow and stick with. So,
looking ahead a little bit, you mentioned the next couple of weeks are pretty integral, but what's important in your eyes to make sure that the success keeps going and you get closer and closer to not just a division championship, but a national championship down the road as well?
Yeah, I think a big key for us is just, I guess, having that belief as a group that we have each other's backs no matter what. I mean, like, if you get out with a guy on third with one out or something and you don't drive him in, that you just have the belief that, hey, that guy behind me is going to be there to pick me up. Or you put up a big inning and you just have belief that the pitching staff is going to go shut them down. Yeah, just having that belief that in each of those guys behind you and each of those guys in front of you, and to play as a team, I guess.
Mm-hmm. On a personal level, heading into this season, did you have any goals or expectations of yourself, and are you closing in on some of those goals and expectations?
I mean, I don't really have any numbers goals that specifically, but I just wanted to, you know, come in, do everything I could to, I guess, contribute to our team's success and take every opportunity to, I guess, learn and grow for the next couple of years. So I was just being present and I guess enjoying the ride. That's kind of my goals for the season.
A couple of great goals. Let's get in your baseball past a little bit here, Kyle. We'll start off with your product of Calgary. How did you get into the game in the first place?
Oh, yeah. So I was always a hockey guy, I guess, growing up. Played for quite a few years up until I was about 12 or 13 or so. But the big thing for me was one fall in 2015 when the Blue Jays made their big playoff run, obviously Bautista's big home run, that definitely got me, I guess, interested in baseball. I thought, hey, maybe instead of spring hockey, that year I was going to go try baseball because it just looked fun, looked like something I'd love to do, so... That was sort of the starting point for me, and then it all kind of snowballed from there.
So how did it develop for you in terms of, you know, getting up to speed where you were kind of, I'll call it, this elite athlete, right? Like, it's one thing to start at, like, the age of four. They talk about, like, hockey players, they were born with skates on. You're kind of, I'll call it, a late bloomer of sorts. So how did you get caught up in the grand scheme to be able to take your game to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had... I guess good teammates from hockey who were also, I guess, playing baseball with Bow Ridge Little League in Calgary. So just learning kind of from them and from their coaches. Eventually, I moved up to just the AAA All-Star team, and we had quite a good coach there who kind of helped me find my love for the game. And then after the year after that, I ended up on the I was fortunate enough to make the Cal Ripken World Series team, which was a great experience for me. I got to play with some good coaches and other players. And then from there, I fell in love with the game. And as I kind of progressed, I was able to kind of get in touch with coaches of higher levels. And I was able to learn quite a bit from them. And from there, it just kept snowballing.
Very cool. Talk about that Babe Ruth experience. And it kind of conjures up the next question, which is, do you remember that moment when you went, okay, this is a cool game that I like to play, but maybe I can chase this? Like, was there a moment for you where that turned for you?
Yeah, I think at that Cal Ripken World Series, we got to see and play against a bunch of guys from all around the world. And you know, we had a pretty decent squad, and we all played pretty good tournament. And I think, you know, after, I guess, seeing or experiencing that, yeah, I kind of realized, hey, like, this is pretty cool that I'm out here playing against guys from all over the world. And, you know, maybe there's something to pursue here.
That's awesome. And obviously you got to pursue it heading a little bit further south towards Vauxhall. Talk about that program and what it meant to you, not just as a ball player, but obviously in chatting with different athletes, it's had an impact on them from a personal perspective as well.
Yeah, I mean, that place is really special. I mean, as an elite athlete, I guess, playing baseball, there's nothing that you can really say against that place. I mean, you have all your teammates there with you. You live 10 steps away from the field. You're right next to the school and the facility. I think everything's just there within a tight proximity to allow you to, I guess, really just be focused on both your studies and your game. And yeah, I mean, it's a great setup, and I love that place a lot.
When I mention the name Coach K, what comes to mind?
Oh, wow. He's a great mentor, I'd say. You know, he's not always the most rah-rah guy or most out there, but, you know, when you sit down with him and have a chat, you know, there's a lot of wisdom with him, so... Yeah, definitely a great coach.
We had him on the show not that long ago as he was being put on the wall of excellence with the Jets, and we thought he's had some impact clearly by the response that we've gotten to that story, and certainly in hearing the stories from that banquet. So wanted to get your take on that. A couple more for you here, Kyle, before we let you go. And one's about obviously baseball being that game of failure, right? Everybody knows about that side of it, but you've had a lot of successes over the course of your career. Maybe talk about some of the biggest challenges or the biggest hurdles that you've had to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is obviously very both mentally and physically demanding game. So, I mean, lately I've been really focusing on, you know, developing my mental game, taking care of my body. I've started to kind of find a routine with some of those things to really find myself in a good position to, I guess, compete every other weekend or every weekend.
Mm-hmm. A couple more for you. One, we always ask the athletes, especially when they get to go back to their roots, whether it's in Calgary or at Vauxhall for you, you get to go back and talk to those young kids who are starting out on their baseball journeys. Maybe they're 12 or 13 and they're looking to you for advice because you've seen the grind. You know what it takes to get to that next level. What are those words of advice or that piece of wisdom that you want to impart upon them?
Yeah. I mean, first off, the first thing is just, I mean, it's baseball's a game at the end of the day. And as our coach Pritchett likes to say, like, we're out here wearing costumes and playing with wooden baseball bats and gloves and baseballs. So, I mean, at the end of the day, just really enjoying each and every moment because it does go by a lot faster than you think. So just really enjoying, you know, every time you're out on the field, every opportunity you get. And then on as another note, I guess the idea that everything that you put in is what you get out. So, you know, if you want it bad enough, then, you know, just keep putting in the work, keep putting in the effort. And that can't hurt you, and it'll take you quite a ways. So,
a couple of good ones for you. And the last one we ask everybody here on the show, Kyle, what does the game of baseball mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the game of baseball is my happy place. Rain or shine, whether I'm like 0 for 4 with 4 Ks or 4 for 4 with 4 home runs, I mean, there's no place I'd rather be. And there's, no place I'd rather be. I love that game too, so much.
Well, we've loved having you on here, Kyle. Really appreciate the time. Congrats on all the success you've had at this point. Continued success going on at UBC and beyond. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Pleasure.
And finally, we head back to the Baseball Canada Junior National Team, where the extended spring training roster will be heading to Florida in about a week's time to face the prospects of the Toronto Blue Jays, Pittsburgh Pirates, Tampa Bay Rays, and Baltimore Orioles during their 10-day swing. Eric Hartman is another one of the Alberta players named to the 35-man roster. The St. Albert Minor Baseball and Dogs Academy product has been highly touted for a while now, so much so that he was a key piece in the Okotoks Dogs WCBL Championship run last August. The University of Michigan commit joined us recently to talk about all of the opportunities coming his way, as well as that sibling rivalry with Washington State standout and episode 269 guest Max Hartman. Eric, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
No problem.
First off, congrats on being named to the junior national team's extended spring training roster. How does it feel?
It feels pretty good. I'm very excited and I'm very blessed with the opportunity. And I'm very excited to go play ball in some warm weather without having to guess if it's going to snow or rain here. So,
as we speak right now, it's raining outside and it's supposed to start snowing tomorrow. So I got to love Alberta in the middle of April, I guess, now.
Yeah, it feels like we're playing some games today and it feels like we're having a second opening day because we haven't played in so long.
Oh, I can only imagine. So when you got that phone call, what went through your mind?
Well, because I was already on the Dominican roster, I only got an email, but when I got the email, it was the same feeling. Like, I was just super excited and I was like, well, here we go again. Like, the Dominican experience was so fun and I haven't been to Florida really recently, and with the group of guys that are going, it's always fun, and the coaching staff is amazing, so I'm really excited to compete.
Mm-hmm. Take us back to last fall in that Dominican instructional camp. What was that experience like from your perspective?
It was so brand new to me, especially in the Dominican. I've never been, and just to see all the MLB facilities and all the amount of dudes competing for a spot just like you, and seeing how many guys' dreams are playing baseball professionally, it's really eye-opening to see. Got to keep your head down and grind.
Mm-hmm. When you look at that roster, especially the guys that you have seen, is there anybody on that roster that makes you kind of go, whoa, like, he's legit? Or is there a guy that you're excited to maybe see?
I'm excited to see Will Labonte compete because he's one of my favorite dudes. He's a really good guy, and he's just a competitor. So I think that'll be fun to see him play. Yeah, I don't know. I think everyone's a really good guy, and it's always fun when you're surrounded by the best and you can put that trust in everyone. So,
mm-hmm. How cool is it to be able to do it with a bunch of guys that you also know? I mean, there's, I think, 5 guys from Dogs Academy total that are able to take part in this thing. Like, you're not going in as a stranger. You've got some old friends there too.
Yeah, especially even from Alberta, we got Baker and Fluelling. Those are really good guys, and we always like hanging around them. And it's also fun to meet the new guys from Ontario and BC and just become like closer with all of them and make new friends and make new connections.
How much of this is leaning on not just that Dominican experience, but also getting to play in the Canadian Future Showcase and all these different events? Like, none of these guys are really strangers to any extent. Like, you pretty much know what you're getting yourself into heading down to Florida.
Yeah, I think, like, surrounding ourselves constantly with all these guys, it's kind of cool to see, oh, I know where you're from and I know who you are. And it's kind of cool that you all have that mutual respect of, oh, he's a baller. So I think going down to Florida, it's more about what we're going to see, but we know what we got on our end.
Mm-hmm. On a personal level, do you have any expectations or goals for yourself that you want to get to when you get down there?
I would say just never throw a day away, no matter what. If you have, if I'm having a rough day, if I go 0 for 1, I'm not going to go 0 for 2. I'm going to compete and constantly compete. And in the outfield, I'm going to make the plays I got to play and maybe make one I shouldn't make. But, yeah, just keep it simple, I would say. Make the plays I got to play, do the things I got to do, execute on the offensive side, and just compete constantly.
Mm-hmm. Not just from a playing perspective, but also there's that opportunity you have to tap into some of the best minds in Canadian baseball from a coaching, with that coaching staff involved and everybody around the organization. How much of it is playing and how much of it is sort of soaking in that knowledge and understanding about what it's going to take to get to that next level and succeed at that next level?
It's pretty cool to learn from them because you think it's going to be a huge next step, but they really teach the mental game of simplifying, and it's cool to see how you can implement that into your game. And you think it's going to be very complex, but at the end of the day, it's just baseball is hard enough. You just got to simplify and do what you can control. Mm-hmm.
Let's go back in time a little bit here. You're a product of St. Albert. Let's talk a little bit about your upbringing in the game. I know the Hartman name has almost become synonymous with baseball in this province, but take us back to the very beginning and when you started to enjoy the game. When was it and who got you into it in the first place?
I started playing T-ball. I don't remember when, but I enjoyed that. And then it was machine pitch. I remember I never went out, but one time I did. I was super mad, but then when it started in, well, Mosquito, that's when I started playing at an organized baseball level, and I enjoyed that. I was never in Mosquito or Pee Wee. I was never my Pee Wee first year. I wasn't really a top player, but one time we were taking batting practice in my Pee Wee first year, and I was using a drop 10 the whole time, and it was okay. Like, it was an average bat. And then my dad brought out this older bat that was a drop 5 metal bat, and I started just hitting barrels, and I don't know, it was like this bat. So I started using it in game, and it changed my life.
Amazing how one little piece of equipment can make a world of difference. So when you were growing up, did you have a favorite team or ball player that that you idolized?
I really like Trout just because of how like sound his game was, and like he can do it all. He's fast, he can hit for power, contact, and he's a great defender. So I think basing your game around him and liking him as a ball player, you can never go wrong with.
Mm. Do you remember that moment where it went from and it might have been that bat instance where it went from, okay, this is a fun game that I really enjoy, to, hey, I've got a future in this thing and maybe I can go chase it at a high school and maybe a post-secondary level?
I would say when, after my Pee Wee first year, I was on the AA team, and then I started really developing. And then the next year I made the AAA team and I balled out there, and then I was like, maybe I could do something with this. And then also when my brother started talking to schools and I looked at him and I'm training with him every day, it's like, if he can do it, I can do it. And I think that's also a moment where I was like, I'm a legit player and I can do this.
Let's segue into that very topic and the brother aspect. He's doing some pretty cool things out in Washington. What's it like watching him from a distance and hearing some of the stories that he can pass along to you as you look forward to your post-secondary career?
It's amazing. I'm so proud of him, and we always watch him on TV, and it's still kind of weird to see him on a TV for sure. And I'm always picking his brain of what are you looking for? And he's facing some great arms right now, so, and still having success. So I always try to pick his brain after the game. I give him a call, and even when he didn't do too well, I say, hey, what happened? And he's like, well, I controlled what I can control. And I think that's a really like a motif that comes around, is you can control what you can control. Like, he catches barrels, and if they're outs, they're outs. But yeah, it's cool to see just him do his thing.
Was there a little bit of sibling rivalry that plays into it when you think about, you know, you go and do all these things, including be a key piece in a WCBL championship last summer, to doing all the things you've done at the Future Showcase and making junior team, and then you're watching him start off his collegiate, or have his second collegiate season start the way it did with like a 10-game hitting streak. Like, he hit the ground running this year, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Like, when my dad kept saying he's got a hit streak right now, and I was just like, oh, okay. And then it got into like double digits. I was like, holy smokes, like he's actually balling out right now. And it kind of just surprised me, because I was like, oh, whatever, it's just a few games. And then I was like, wow, he's actually got a lot of hits right now. And it was pretty, I was just like, really not surprised, but I was just like, oh, he's a dude.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about Dogs and what that program's meant to you, not just the academy piece, but also getting that opportunity, as mentioned, last summer to play a piece in that championship run.
Well, yeah, like the Dogs, they recruited me because of my brother pretty much. And when I went there, it was a different culture change, because there's not just one, the best player all the time. It's an everyday battle to who's going to be the best for that day. And so that just gets everyone better, because you're always just competing. Like in the summer too, they have all these tools to like help players develop. And for me and Matchy, going playing with the summer team just was another tool to, I think, just help us get better and help us see better arms. And I'm very thankful that we got that call, because it was the most fun I've ever had playing ball and not really worrying about stats or anything, and like showing my stats and getting myself recruited. It was just, man, go win a game. It doesn't matter if you go 0-for-3, if you get walked and steal one and score, you did your job for the day. And you're just competing with these guys and going head to head with the other team. So you're not worried about anything else but winning. And I think that's the best way to play baseball.
Absolutely. When you think back on the young career to this point, do you have a favorite memory or moment that sticks out to you that you're just like, man, I can't believe I get to do this?
I think Canada Games was such a cool experience. Felt like a mini Olympics, and I enjoyed that a lot. I was on the fence at first about going, but then a few of my buddies went in, and so I was like, I'll go too. And then I would do it a million times over, because that was the most fun I've had too. Just such a good group of guys, like those Alberta guys again. Flew was on that team, and so was Baker, and we had a good group, and we were just competing. I thought we were underdogs the whole tournament, so to come out and just compete like that, and again, just worrying about winning, it was the best.
In your eyes, how legit is that group? Like, you think about like Flu winning the home run derby at the Future Showcase. Baker won the MVP. You've got Yusuf Chuck, who throws a no-no in on a big stage. Like, you've played really well. Like, there's a lot of guys who can really play and really step up in those big moments.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something about the Alberta water, because there's a lot of just good competitors in Alberta, and it kind of sneaks up on you, because Ontario is always the top dog, and just all the people they got, they'll always put out some ballers. But Alberta, it's kind of like the select few are still 100% competing with the East, with Quebec and Ontario. So it's cool to see that. Yeah, just because we're a smaller province doesn't mean can't produce as much.
Mm. Talk a little bit about your future here. You're heading to the University of Michigan soon. How excited are you to head to that organization?
Very excited. It's super cool. East Coast is a little different for me, but weather's about the same, so I don't think I'm going to get into anything colder or hotter. And so I'm excited to still be able to wear some hoodies. And
what was it about that program that stood out to you that made you go, I want to go play ball there?
I would say just the coaching staff, for sure, and just the culture of winning. And just, again, just wanting to win and doing anything in their power to win. And the coach and staff I met was just, they're just winning oriented. And it was very cool to see that them like adapting just to win. And I think still being a student athlete, they were also, as much as they wanted to win, they still put school first there. And I think that was an important aspect for me too, is if you miss practice or like the start of practice because you got a test or something, they're totally okay with that. And I think that's a huge part too, because if you can't juggle both, then you can't really play. So I thought that was very important to me as well.
What are you planning on taking down there?
I'm not sure yet, really. I'm undecided. I'm thinking going into the business school, but engineering's in my back pocket still because my whole family's are engineers and my brother's taking that too. So
nothing like making it even harder on yourself, because as somebody who works at an engineering faculty in Calgary, I know that the workload is crazy. So to add student athlete to that mix is just insane. So kudos to you for thinking about that as a potential route down the road. We've talked obviously a lot about your successes to this point, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about some of the failures or the challenges that you come along the way as well. What's been maybe the biggest roadblock, the biggest hurdle that you've had to overcome over the course of your young career?
I would say like a time that was like, I didn't really know what was happening, but it was better for me, was when I got cut from that AAA team in Peewee. I wasn't very good. And it was kind of just like a wake up call to say, maybe it's time to turn it on a little bit. And then I would also say a tough time for everyone was just COVID and not being able to play that much. But I thought, I was pretty good with training every day and working out, but at some point it was just really tough mentally. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, like it was like a grind every day to get better. And I think coming out of COVID, I was a lot ahead of a lot of people because of just the discipline I had. But I thought that was a hard time for everyone, and especially me.
For sure. A couple more before we let you go here, Eric. The one that we ask a lot of the athletes is, you get to go back to St. Albert or you get back to Dogs Academy and you're talking to those young kids who are just starting out on their baseball journeys and they're looking to you saying, I want to be in your shoes one day. What's that one piece of advice or those words of wisdom that you like to pass along to them, knowing what you know now?
I would say just take every day in and just never waste a day. Just always be in the present moment. Enjoy what you got, why you got. Don't always be wishing about, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. Like, have your goals, but your goals start with today. So win the day today and then move on tomorrow. If you don't have your day today, you got tomorrow. And baseball's an everyday sport. So even if you do good tomorrow, got to go again at it the next day. And if you do bad today, you got to just wake up and move on. So I would say just remain present and, yeah, never just live too far ahead.
Reminds me a little bit of the old Steven Tyler adage from Aerosmith. He once said, you're only as good as your next single. And I went, you know, that's a pretty good way of living life. So sounds like it's on the same vein there. The final question we have for you, Eric, it's the one we ask everybody. What does game of baseball mean to you?
Well, it's my life at this point. it's everything to me. It's crazy to think that from moving to St. Albert to Okotoks, it was a really big decision. And I was really scared at first because I was like, I'm kind of giving up my whole life in St. Albert with all my friends. And it's a big move from grade 9 junior high school to high school here with knowing absolutely nobody and just coming down. So to think if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be here where I am today, but I don't think I would make the other decision to stay for a second. And I'm super glad that I'm here. And yeah, just people ask me what I do outside of baseball. I'm like, really nothing. I come home, do my schoolwork, and go to baseball. And then it's just an everyday thing. And well, I love it. I'll never complain about playing too much baseball. So I think that just goes back to enjoying every day. And sometimes these 6 a.m. practices we got going, it's like, man, I'd rather not do this, but you got to be thankful. And just know that playing baseball is a blessing every day, and just going off that.
Great stuff, Eric. Well, again, congratulations on all the success, including being named the junior national team's extended spring training roster, continued success there and beyond in college as well. And thanks again so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Rajon Bourget, Kyle Yip, and Eric Hartman for joining us this week. And thanks to all of you for downloading and listening. If you haven't already, leave us a rating and review if you can, as those actions help spread the word about the show on the different podcast platforms. We'd also like to tip our caps to our Platinum supporters, the Okotoks Dogs, for all they do for us and for baseball in Alberta. Their generosity helps us cover costs like podcast hosting fees on Podbean and website hosting fees on WordPress. If you'd like to join our roster of sponsors, head to albertadugoutstories.com/supporters. Until next time, thank you for all of your support online, on social, and on air of Alberta Dugout Stories.